Neuro-unique, why humans are not types but individual neuroprofiles, TLDR. People cannot really be adequately explained either by rigid types or by individual diagnoses. It makes more sense to understand them as individual neuroprofiles. The neuro-NICAT model therefore clearly distinguishes between archetypes, profile patterns, combination patterns, neuroprofiles, and neurostates. This makes visible what in everyday life often appears only contradictory, exhausting, or chaotic. AUDHD in particular shows why this distinction is necessary. It is not a character, and not just a label, but a recurring combination pattern that can become visible in very different ways depending on the state. Using the example of the film character from The Social Network, it can be shown how extreme cognitive performance and massive interpersonal dysregulation can arise simultaneously from the same profile. A person is not a type, but a profile. We like to talk about people as if they were relatively simple categories. One person is just chaotic, another particularly rational, a third creative but difficult, a fourth empathetic but oversensitive. Such descriptions are not completely wrong. They are just almost always too crude, because many people do not experience themselves as consistent in only one direction. They are highly focused and effective in one moment, internally flooded in the next. They can develop brilliant solutions and at the same time fail at seemingly simple social situations. They appear determined, impulsive, sensitive, controlled, and dysregulated at the same time. Precisely for this reason, neither a rigid typology nor a single diagnosis is sufficient as a complete explanation. People are not neat drawers, they are individual profiles. Why the same person can appear strong and dysregulated at the same time? What looks like a contradiction from the outside is often not a contradiction in the actual sense. It is the visible surface of a complex inner system. A person can think exceptionally quickly, recognize patterns precisely, and deliver enormous performance under pressure. Can, however, be easily hurt in relationships, tip into sensory overload, react socially awkwardly, or emotionally derail under stress. This is not automatically hypocrisy, nor is it merely a lack of discipline. What often becomes visible here is that several forces are acting simultaneously in the same person. Anyone who only seeks a moral judgment for this understands too little. Anyone who only seeks a diagnosis often does as well. What is needed is a model that can make differences, couplings, and states visible at the same time. The neuro-NICAT model orders what appears chaotic in everyday life. The neuro-NICAT model starts from a simple assumption. No human brain is just a normal variant with small deviations. Each person has their own configuration of perception, attention, regulation, motivation, stimulus processing, relationship style, and learning logic. This configuration cannot be traced back to a single gene, cannot be reduced to a single diagnosis, and cannot be fully described by a type. It arises from trait dimensions, context modulators, recurring patterns, typical couplings, and situational states. The goal of this model is not labeling. The goal is a more precise language for something that many people have long experienced but can rarely name clearly, that they are not simply this or that, but composed in a very specific way. Five levels we must clearly distinguish, so that the model does not fall back into vagueness. It needs a clear nomenclature. Archetypes are narrative illustrations. They help to vividly describe recognizable tendencies without claiming that a person is completely identical to a figure. Profile patterns are recurring basic patterns. They describe constellations that regularly appear in the population and are clearly recognizable clinically, educationally, or biographically. Combination patterns are typical couplings of such profile patterns. Here, a dynamic of its own emerges that is more than the mere sum of its parts. Neuroprofiles are the individual overall configuration of a person. They include manifestations, vulnerabilities, resources, typical couplings, and the way someone functions under different conditions. Neurostates are the momentary manifestations of this profile. They determine which sides of a person are currently emerging, which are inhibited, and where strengths tip into risk of collapse. Only when these five levels remain separate does the model become truly useful. Recurring profile patterns are real, but no person is fully captured by one of them. Certain neurocognitive and psychological patterns appear again and again. These include ADHD, autism, dyslexia, anxiety-related patterns, obsession-related patterns, depressive patterns, bipolar patterns, or borderline-related patterns. Such patterns are real. They are important, and they can be very relieving diagnostically, therapeutically, and biographically. But they are never the whole person. A profile pattern describes a recurring structure. A person, however, always lives as a concrete mixture. That is why a single pattern often helps, but almost never explains everything. Some patterns do not appear in isolation, but in typical couplings. The model becomes particularly revealing where patterns do not appear individually, but coupled. A combination pattern is not simply a double diagnosis in theoretical packaging. It describes a regularly recurring coupling from which a dynamic of its own emerges. There are reinforcing couplings in which two patterns drive in the same direction. There are masking couplings in which one pattern temporarily conceals the other. And there are tension-filled couplings in which the same person is pulled in opposite directions. These very tension-filled couplings are often misunderstood in everyday life because they appear inconsistent from the outside, although they are highly systematic internally. AUDHD is not a character, but a recurring combination pattern. AUDHD is a particularly good example of this. What is meant here is not an aesthetic self-description and not a fashionable umbrella term, but a recurring combination pattern of autistic and ADHD-related components present, but how they interact with each other. One part of the profile seeks stimulation, speed, novelty, and movement. Another part needs predictability, reduction of stimuli, clear patterns, and withdrawal. One part wants to go out. Another wants to get out of the situation again, immediately. One part is quickly activated. Another quickly becomes exhausted by social and sensory overload. Precisely for this reason, many affected people do not describe their experience as clear-cut, but as consistently contradictory. Not because they are arbitrary, but because a tension-filled coupling is at work within them. In this model, ADHD is therefore neither an archetype nor a character image. It is a combination pattern that can present itself very differently depending on the neurostate. What matters is not only the profile, but also the state. No neuroprofile appears the same in every situation. Sleep, stress, hormones, stimulus load, hunger, illness, social pressure, hurt, underload, overload, and relationship context change how a profile is currently functioning. That is why the same person can appear brilliant one day, exhausted the next, and irritable, fidgety, or closed off on the third. This is not counter-evidence against the profile. It is precisely an expression of it. The neurostate is the dynamic level of the model. It shows in what form a profile is currently activated. A regulated state makes resources visible. An overstimulated state increases defense and withdrawal. An understimulated state generates restlessness, searching movements, and impulse pressure. A hyper-focused state can lead to extreme productivity, but at the same time, significantly reduce social co-regulation. It is precisely at this point that the model becomes practically relevant, because many conflicts arise not only from the profile itself, but from the misunderstanding of its current state. The film character from The Social Network is a strong analysis example. The following is explicitly not about the real person Mark Zuckerberg. It is only about the film character in David Fincher's The Social Network. This distinction is crucial. The text does not claim any diagnosis about a living person. It uses a dramatized film character as an analytical surface for a possible ADHD-related combination pattern within the neuro-NECAP model. Why this particular character is so strong lies in the precision of its first major condensation. In the opening phase of the film, we do not see a neutral tech nerd at work. We see a young man in a highly activated state of hurt, acceleration, intellectual condensation, and social disinhibition. The opening scene shows the simultaneity of high performance and derailment. The strength of this scene lies in the fact that it does not show just one ability, but a simultaneity. After the breakup with Erica Albright, the character returns to his student flatshare. There, the emotional hurt does not tip into silent withdrawal, but into radical acceleration. While the thought process becomes faster, more focused, and more instrumental, the character simultaneously begins to write and to program. This is precisely where the analytical power of the scene lies. In the same stream of movement, cognitive high performance and moral social derailment arise. The character publishes a publicly accessible text in which he personally insults, dehumanizes, and objectifies the woman who has just left him. At the same time, he concentrates his attention so strongly that a highly effective technical implementation emerges from the same night. A precise distinction is important here. In this early phase of the film, the character is not yet programming Facebook itself, but first FaceMash as a precursor. This does not make the scene smaller but clearer. It shows the moment in which hurt, obsession, status injury, and technical implementation find a common direction. Anyone who reads this scene only as genius romanticizes dysregulation. Anyone who reads it only as malice overlooks the inner architecture of the state. Its real message lies in the simultaneity of both sides. What becomes visible about this character in the model? As a combination pattern, the character can be read as ADHD-related, high cognitive agility, strong attraction to complex problems, extreme ability to focus, low spontaneous social resonance, increased vulnerability to hurt, and clear friction between inner acceleration and interpersonal regulation. As a neuroprofile, the character shows an unusual condensation of systematization, goal commitment, sensitivity to competition, reduced social co-regulation, and high performance under pressure. He does not simply appear cool, but in some situations almost decoupled from what others emotionally need or can tolerate at that moment. As a neurostate, he appears in the opening scene highly activated, hyper-focused, and at the same time socially dysregulated. This is exactly what makes the scene so revealing. The same energy that drives concentration, output, and technical effectiveness also feeds impulsivity, devaluation, and public boundary violations. The model does not explain away this behavior, but it makes it readable why performance and derailment do not stand side by side here by chance, but arise from the same inner acceleration pattern. What simple interpretations almost always overlook in such people. Such characters are often either admired or morally discarded. In the first case, dysregulation is seen as the price of genius. In the second case, performance is seen as unimportant side information to an unbearable character. Both are too simple. A third view is more precise. Some people have neuroprofiles in which enormous cognitive strength, high reactivity, social friction, hyperfocus, status sensitivity, and fluctuating co-regulation are closely interconnected. This does not automatically make their behavior acceptable, but it makes it more understandable. And that is often the crucial difference between mere judgment and real insight. What this model is practically useful for. The NeuroNICAP model is not just a thought experiment. It has practical value. It helps people to read themselves more precisely. Those who understand their own profile better often moralize themselves less generally and recognize more clearly. Resources, tipping points, exhaustion thresholds, and compensations lie. It also helps parents, teachers, managers, therapists, and partners. Instead of hastily interpreting behavior as unwillingness, arrogance, laziness, hardness, or immaturity, one can ask, what pattern is present here, which coupling is at work, and in what state is the person currently? It is precisely there that the way we deal with people changes. Not because every difficulty is excused, but because interventions become more precise. Some people need fewer stimuli, others more structure, others more autonomy, others better transitions, others protection from overload, others linguistic precision and clearer feedback. Anyone who works only with labels overlooks these differences. Anyone who works with profiles sees them. The goal is not pigeonholing, but more precise understanding. The NeuroNICAP model does not want to simplify people, but to see them more precisely. It contradicts the idea that a person must be either normal or deviant, rational or emotional, brilliant or difficult, structured or chaotic. In reality, many people are complex profiles with recurring patterns, typical couplings, and changing states. Precisely for this reason, a person is not less understandable when they appear contradictory. Often they only become understandable when we stop trying to read them in just one drawer. The goal is therefore not to reduce people to diagnoses, types, or deficits. The goal is a language that comes closer to their actual complexity. And perhaps that is precisely the real core of NeuroNICAT. Not every person fits into a category, but every person has a profile that can be understood.